We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Derek Nimmo in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panellists to speak, if they can, on the subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from that subject, if they can. And we'll begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. And Derek, the subject is salesmen. Can you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
Salesmanship is persuading people they can't live without something that they never realized that they needed. I, for a long time, was a salesman, once working, as a matter of fact, in Petticoat Lane, selling patent medicine, a particular kind of liquid which was called the finest liver cleansing fluid in the world, and we used to fill it up from a bottle at the back, and it said 100%
aquaphora. Freud has challenged you.
What happened to you?
I don't quite know what to say about that, really.
Right, so it was an incorrect challenge, so Derek, you get a point for that, and you keep the subject. There are 38 seconds left. The subject is salesman, and you start now.
A salesman is a sort of smooth-talking fellow, the single...
Peter Jones is a chap.
Hesitation.
Yes, it is not as smooth as Derek illustrated. I agree with the hesitation. A point to you for a correct challenge, Peter. 34 seconds are left. Salesman starting now.
A really good salesman who is loyal to his company will only sell to people who actually require the goods that he's trying to offload onto them in exchange for their hard-earned cash. Now, these high-powered salesmen who go around the country knocking on people's doors, trying to...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
I don't think you'd be very high-powered if you're going around knocking on people's doors.
Well, I would have thought...
Max,
that you...
a vacuum cleaner.
Could be a high-powered vacuum cleaner salesman or a low-powered vacuum salesman cleaner. I don't matter what station of salesmanship you're at. You can either be high-powered at your job or low-powered.
Surely it depends on the door, not on the...
It probably does, but I think that Peter was not deviating from the subject of salesman, so he keeps it with another point and 13 seconds starting now.
The brief conversation which ensues usually ends up with the housewife inviting the salesman into her home, and he sprinkles a lot of rubbish all over the carpet, whereupon he opens his box...
The whistle which Ian Messiter blows for us tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking that moment gains an extra point, and it was, as you've guessed, Peter Jones. Well, as you guessed, you realised it, didn't you? So Peter's in the lead at the end of the round. Kenneth, will you begin the next round? The subject is a panache. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
It's derived from penna, which means feather, and it really signifies a plume or bunch of feathers. And, of course, its historical significance for the English is profound, since the originator of that great line did take from the ground before the battle that famous plant, the genêt, and stuck it in his helmet, and thereafter gave rise to the Plantagenets of England, who, incidentally, caused an awful lot of trouble, but that is to depart from the subject. Panache.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Deviation has departed from the subject.
Yes. By your own admission, you departed from the subject. You even drew their attention to it. So, Derek, I agree with your challenge. 17 seconds are left. Panache, starting now.
Oh, the excitement to be at Hearthfire with your panache trailing behind you and running down the battlements with a great cry of God for Harry, England, and St. George, riding against the French with a crossbowman at your side on your mighty stallion. And my goodness, the thrill, patriotism, and excitement.
The idea of you riding on your stallion with a crossbowman aside, he must be going pretty fast to keep up with the horse.
Nippy fellows.
Anyway, they didn't challenge you. You kept going. You got the point for speaking as the whistle went, and you're equal with Peter Jones in the lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, will you begin, please, with the subject of gambits? 60 seconds, starting now.
A gambit is a ploy or plan which you use in order to win something which you might otherwise lose. So that, for instance, in chess...
Oh, what a funny noise. Derek, your buzzer went a bit off.
Well, actually, I may say that's quite true deviation, because a gambit is to lose a piece in order that you may win other pieces. Not necessarily.
It's a very good gambit, that particular idea.
That's what it is in chess.
Yes, in chess it may be, but it can also be a different... There are different kinds of gambits. You stick to your gambits and let Freud have his gambits, and anybody in the audience can have their own little gambits, and then... No, I disagree with the challenge, Derek. So there are 49 and a half seconds with you, Clement, still on gambits, starting now.
I was talking predominantly about the two tomato ketchup mustard pot salt cellar gambit, whereby in a restaurant you're able to summon the manager, the head waiter, and quite possibly a floor walker or three to come along to your aid. Are you all done?
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation, just he stopped.
Yes, I know. He was grinning at someone in the audience as well.
So. No, I... Idiot gestures around me.
Yes, well, it's Clement Freud's offbeat day today, and if you consider how offbeat he normally is, it's quite an interesting experience. There are 31 seconds left for you, Derek, to take up the subject of gambits, starting now.
What an interesting gambit it would be to ride out from Harfleur on your stallion with your crossbowman by your side, because you'd have to go frightfully quickly, and that might deceive the French, and they would think that your horse was going wrong.
Peter Jones has challenged.
I think it's objectionable to use the same material for the second subject as the usual. It is repetition, actually.
It's not repetition within the rules of the game, if there are any rules left.
No, but I mean...
The rules are, as far as I know, that you mustn't deviate from the subject on the card, and if you can cleverly enough use the same material for every particular round, I think it would be really quite exceptional.
Yes, but he's pushing his luck boredom-wise.
Well, it's up to you to get in and be the first to challenge when he pushes it too far. There are 21 seconds with you, Derek Gambits, starting now.
Sitting by my chessboard in a darkened room with only a candle burning, I moved my pawn to King's Queen 4. This was the most interesting...
Clement Freud's challenge.
King's Queen.
Deviation.
It was a very odd chessboard.
It was a rather gay pawn.
It's a good reply. Clement, I agree with your challenge. There are 9.5 seconds. Gambits starting now.
I know a tailor who has a gambit, which is to make any sort of suit that he considers suitable, whereafter he advises his customers to eat accordingly.
At the end of that round, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went. Gained the extra point. He's equal second with Peter Jones. Derek Limmer's taken the lead. And Peter, would you begin the next round with the subject of odd people? Will you tell us something about those in the game starting now?
Well, being English, I usually think of these as foreigners, the type of person who wears...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, a bit naughty, a bit harsh, but there we are, right. And there are 53 seconds for odd people, Derek, starting now.
People are frightfully odd, you know. It is extraordinary sometimes when you wander through an open door and you're confronted by Kenneth Williams coming towards you. You look with some extraordinary amazement at his wonderfully keen, slim figure, and you think, behind all that, he is decidedly odd. And then you realise that it is because of his eccentricity, coupled with his warmth and filled with the milk of human kindness, that he is the person that we have sitting in front of us today. Yet he is an odd person.
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Why?
He's sitting beside me.
So I would disagree with your challenge, and but only give one point to Derek Nimmo, who continues with the subject for 14 and a half seconds of odd people starting now.
Throughout history, odd numbers, and therefore applied to people, have always been considered to be completely lucky.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of people.
Yes, indeed. Oh, I'm sorry, people's on the card. You aren't allowed to repeat that more than once or twice.
Well, I know.
but it was a good try. You might have caught me off guard, yes.
Well, I did, actually.
Yes. 10 seconds are left, Derek, on Odd People starting now.
3 has always been a particularly lucky
number. Clement Freud. The
repetition of always.
Yes, he did say always before, I'm afraid. There are 9... No, they're not. There's 7 seconds left for Odd People, Clement, starting now.
1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, 15, 17, 19 people.
Clement Williams, a chance.
Deviation. I mean, this is just a recitation of numbers. How can you say he's discussing odd people by...
I quite agree.
Oh, quite right.
Quite agree. It really is. It's the Clement Freud offbeat peak tonight. There are 4 seconds on Odd People with you, Kenneth, starting now.
One thing Sir Pooter saying to the wife in the garden. I didn't know we had a lodging house, and she said, we haven't. He said, well, look at all the borders. And I think that's very odd. I just get a little blow whistles and a little bit of a line. You're trying to get it out, you know. I'm trying to get it out, and they blow whistles at you.
Yes, the whistle went just on the payoff to your story. It was a very sad. I think
it's very annoying, isn't it? Very annoying when you're coming to your coup de grace, as our friends on the other side of the channel put it, well, leaving the omelette sur les visages in the process.
Well, Kenneth, even with your coup de grace, with all your panache and the odd style that you have, you got the point for speaking as the whistle went, and you're still in fourth place.
Oh. And
we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is Francis Bacon. So will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
A notable Elizabethan, and I think I could do no better than to give you an example of his prose. He who hath wife and children hath given hostages to fortune. Doesn't that make us think? And that other wonderful line, virtue is to riches what the baggage is to an army. Necessary for the progress, but it impedes the march. Now that makes us sit back and digest a most complicated series of thoughts. And perhaps this is the very essence of good writing, that it does force us, in the most exhilarating fashion, to exercise our mental faculties. And perhaps a man...
Clement Freud, this chap.
Repetition of perhaps.
I'm afraid you did say perhaps before. And it's rather sad, because Clement's got in with only 2 seconds to go and was so interesting on Francis Bacon. So, Clement, with the boos of the audience ringing in your ears, will you tell us... In 2 seconds, something about Francis Bacon, starting now.
Francis Bacon's a very great friend of my brother's.
At the end of that run, Clement Freud has gone into second place on his own, ahead of Peter Jones, but just behind our leader, Derek Nimmo. And, Clement, your turn to begin. The subject...
Just ask a question?
Yes, you can ask him as you
like. Why haven't I had a subject for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times?
You're quite
because
right.
Because you made such a mess of the first one.
Now, I'm getting all fidgety, because I keep thinking it's going to be my turn, then you give it to somebody
else. It's quite right. You're quite right. I'm glad you drew my attention to that, because it is your turn. I did turn over 2 cards, and I almost missed you out, Derek. So will you tell us something about the subject of traps in just a minute, starting
if
now?
If I'd only shut my trap, I wouldn't have got such a boring subject as this, Anton. I'm very sorry that I butted in. Of course, there are many kinds of traps. One thinks theatrically of the Hamlet trap and the star variety. The aforementioned one, which comes
Kenneth,
from the Shakespearean
play. Yes, I agree with the hesitation. So, Kenneth, you have the subject of traps and the 46 seconds starting now.
I always think of that hole in the floor that Sweeney Todd had, so they shoved him down there and made his mince pies. Well, that's what they told us. Of course, I don't really think anyone ate human pies. It's like giving pigeon pie to a pigeon. It'd be
Peter Jones.
Yeah, repetition of pies.
Yes, a lot of pies and pigeon as well. Peter, you have a point on the subject in 33 seconds on traps, starting now.
I don't much like talking about traps because it brings on...
Kenneth Williams.
Well, if you don't want to talk about it, why don't you shut his trap?
Peter Jones didn't deviate from the subject of traps, so he still keeps it with 30 seconds to go, starting now.
My point was that the subject was painful to me on account of my claustrophobia.
painful repetition.
But it's a pity when someone's got a psychological disturbance of this kind that other people make mock of it at every turn, isn't it? I'm not even allowed to explain why I don't want to talk about it. I know, it's terribly insensitive. I'm surprised at Kenneth. Well, I'm...
I don't think sensitivity actually comes into playing Just a Minute. It hasn't done so far.
No, otherwise we couldn't account for your chairmanship.
I think the audience now realise why perhaps I am chairman, because I give them such wonderful cues. There are 24 seconds left for you, Derek. Traps starting now.
Of course you can have pen.
Kevin Freud has challenged.
Repetition of course. He started the last little bit with of course.
No, he didn't.
He did, actually, yes.
Did he?
I make a little mark, of course and always. He said both.
He didn't say both.
Of course and always.
Oh, I thought you said he said both. B-O-T-H.
No.
You made a note of that as well, did you?
No.
You write everybody's script down in shorthand as they go along. Clement, I will trust you on this. Let us continue with the programme. So, Kenneth... what's your name? Clement Freud. Yes. Clement, you have the subject, and there are 23 seconds. Traps starting now.
In East Anglia, we have something called gin traps, which are pretty villainous and vicious. But the other Sunday, my children went out to try and find a tonic trap in order that I would be able to have a drink before the roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. These are just some of the traps which are, I think, unfair.
Hesitation.
Yes, he fell into his own trap there of being rather too clever with his gin and tonics, and he's tripped up, so there are four and a half seconds on traps with you. Peter, starting now.
Now, mouse traps have always fascinated me, because it has been said...
Clement Freud has challenged.
I'm afraid always has already come up in Peter.
Yes, but it was Derek Nimmer who said always before.
Peter Jones...
No, he didn't.
No, I didn't.
Peter has an always against him.
You told us before, and it's actually in the programme already, recorded, in fact, that you told us that it was Derek Nimmer who said always, and you made a note of it. So it could not have been Derek Nimmer and Peter Jones.
I keep an of course and always counter for each of my enemies.
He's sort of flirted, isn't he?
Really? Yes, and I'm not going to fall into the trap, because Clement Freud sets marvellous traps for me to fall into in Just a Minute, but I'm not. With that absolutely insouciant smile of his, I'm not going to be beguiled. I will say, no, Peter, you have the subject still. 2 seconds left. Traps starting now.
And they're no good for rats. Or...
So, Peter Jones got a lot of points in that round, so he's moved up into first place alongside Derek Nimmo, and he's overtaken Clement Freud, who's still in second place. And now, Clement, we come to you to begin, and the subject is my swimsuit. Will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
Of course, I've always wanted to talk about my swimsuit, because since I stopped wearing pants or trunks, I have invested in a very substantial amount of cloth, because the avoir du poids, weight or body...
Derek Nimmer.
Has this?
I think so, yes.
I think so, yes.
Yes.
It's not...
There are 44 seconds on my swimsuit, starting now, Derek.
Of course, I've always wanted to talk about my swimsuit, because I look so absolutely magnificent in it. It is made of black and yellow material, and as I am down, swirl applause, as they say across the other side of the channel, people stand and cheer, because I hold little Union Jack in one hand and paddle into the little waves, and people smile at me.
Peter Jones.
Repetition of little.
Yes, it was all getting a bit too little. There are 23 seconds for my swimsuit. Peter Jones, with you, starting now.
My swimsuit hasn't been wet for a very long time. When I've been to the coastal resorts in England, it's been much too cold. In Australia, I was so terrified of being bitten by whales or seals or other animals that were lurking
about. Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Deviation, seals don't bite.
Yes, but I was still terrified of it. There's always a first time for everything.
You could be terrified of being bitten by a mouse, and...
Then I am.
Just... So, Peter, I agree with your challenge. There are seven seconds left for my swimsuit, starting now.
It couldn't be worn in Spain because they have laws about indecency, and this is such a very small one.
So, Peter Jones has taken the lead at the end of that round, not only for points in the round, but getting another one for speaking as the whistle went. Peter, we're with you to begin again. The subject is strings. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now? Clement Freud has challenged.
Hesitation.
Indeed, it was hesitation. Peter...
No, it was no hesitation at all.
Why wasn't it hesitation?
Well, I mean, you can't hesitate if you're not going to... I hadn't actually started.
Did you realise that I asked you to talk on the subject of strings?
Strings, yes. Yes, I didn't hear that. No, I was waiting. I was waiting for you to repeat that.
Well, we're not allowed to repeat things in just a minute, so, Clement, I agree with the challenge. There are 58 seconds on strings starting now.
If you had a deaf aid, it would be very much easier to hear words like strings being called out by the chairman of this admirable program. I had strings hanging from my swimsuit, which is why I found it so extraordinarily difficult to speak quickly when called upon to do so. Rope and sisal are excellent for making what is known as a string, especially when it hangs from the...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
He was hanging twice.
Yes, that's right. They were hanging from your bathing costume before.
Hanging and hangs.
No, I think they were hanging. The strings were hanging from your bathing costume.
Yes, this time it said hangs. But if you're not listening, it's unimportant.
I was listening
one
so well.
You're playing two completely different games, one for logic and one against you. It really is.
But there wouldn't be a game if you didn't have someone as idiotic as me as chairman, would there?
May I second that?
I quite agree. Thank you for drawing my attention to that, Clement. It was extremely well done. Now you have drawn my attention to it. I do realise that you're absolutely correct, and Derek Nimmo was trying it on as usual, and you keep the subject. You have another point, of course, and 34 seconds on strings starting now.
Every now and again, one is made an offer which sounds enormously attractive until you learn that there are strings attached to it. And
Kenneth Williams.
You see, everyone's made an offer. Well, nobody's made me any offers. I've had nothing offered me with no strings attached to it, or nothing. I mean, I've had nothing anyway. I mean, what's this everyone's had offers? I've been standing about for ages. Nobody's made me an offer.
Well, according to the rumours, you're always having offers.
No, it's rumours or lies.
Oh, well, whether it's lies or not.
So it's deviation. He said everyone's getting these offers, and we're not getting them. So it's deviation. I should get the subject, right?
He means everyone in East
Anglia. You such a row! Arguing all the time. Keep on arguing. I haven't got a word in for ages, have I? Shoot it here. I've come all the way from Great Portland Street.
I think you're doing very well at the present moment getting a word
well,
in.
What about me having a go, then?
I'd love you to have a go, but if I give it against Clement Freud on an incorrect challenge...
If he's not getting it, let him have a go.
Yeah.
Well, Clement Freud, who sits beside you, is being extraordinarily generous and decided, as you haven't been getting it, you should have it. And I'm going to give you... And I'm going to give you the subject of strings, and there are 25 seconds left in which to talk about it, starting now.
I was given...
And Clement Freud chuckled.
Hesitation.
And Clement has given you another point. Because it was not a hesitation.
No.
And there are 24 and a half seconds on strings with you, Kenneth, starting now.
It's interesting to skip the subject because I have a true...
Clement Freud has challenged again.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, you didn't give him the subject. I did.
I would say that you gave me the subject to give to him. Because the chairman actually finishes up whatever happens by saying, I give you the subject. You said... Actually, what you said, I remember now, you said, give it to him. And he has a legitimately incorrect challenge, and there are 20 seconds left starting now.
As a sea cadet, I was given a great coil of this stuff with lead on the end, and they said, take the sounding. I shot forward, threw it into the water, but forgot that I had to leave hold of it, and I fell in the river. It was absolutely terrible, and I actually pulled out, and I was all bedraggled.
So Kenneth Williams, struggling out of the river there, dripping wet, having got a number of points in that round, is now in fourth place. But we have heard from him, which is what we all like, isn't it? So, Kenneth, you're only just a little way behind Clement Freud, only 2 points behind him, actually, only 3 behind Derek Nimmo, and only 5 behind our leader, Peter Jones. And, Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, Jack Ketch. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Jack
sketch. Oh, my goodness me, what a frightening subject. It takes me back to my childhood, when I first went to see a Punch and Judy show, and there I saw Jack Ketch with the aforementioned gentleman with the big nose and hump thacking him on the head, and I was so terrified because, of course, the real historical Jack Ketch was the great notorious hangman of the 17th century who killed, oh goodness, Lord Russell, strung him up for this part in the Ride Rebellion. I fill with tears, I think, the untimely death of this most gallant nobleman, all because of the infamous Jack Ketch, who was removed from his post, and Mr. Rose was put there instead, who was finally hung himself, and poor Jack Ketch lived to hang another day. And if it were not for people like that, and a little bit more rig and a bit of string perhaps as well, we would have capital punishment back in this country today. Not that I would approve of it, but I don't want to get it anymore.
Well, Derek Nimmo deserves to be hung. He took the subject of Jack Ketch, and that was only a joke, and he kept going magnificently for 60 seconds without being interrupted, and I've just been told we come to the end of the contest. Kenneth Williams, as I told you before, was only just in fourth place. Clement Freud was only 2 points ahead of him, and Derek Nimmo, with that last bit of panache and talking about Jack Ketch, crept up on Peter Jones, who was previously in the lead, and so we now have joint winners this week, Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones. Have enjoyed listening to this particular game and contest, if you can call it that, of Just a Minute, and will want to be with us again at the same time next week. But once again, we all take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here now, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.